Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes of sermons given by various leaders, primarily Brigham Young, during the latter part of the 19th century. And there's one thing that I've noticed, Eric, and this is a strange phenomenon. When I talk to ex-Mormons, I find that many of them have horrible stories of how they are treated by the members that they left behind in the Mormon Church. This not only includes friends that they had in the local ward, but even family members. And I could never figure out, why do Mormons treat ex-Mormons that way? You would think that if the individual has left the Mormon Church and in the Mormon eyes have sacrificed any hope of eternal life, that they would feel more sorry for them, more pity for them, but that's not usually the case. Most of the time, we find that there's a lot of anger that is generated against the person who leaves. Now, if the person left the church, and let's say that they got actively involved in ministry like MRM, I can kind of understand that, because then they would look at it as, well, you're a traitor and you're fighting against the church, okay? But a lot of these people, they just kind of silently leave because they no longer believe it to be true. And even though they don't say anything publicly, they merely express their doubts to some friends and family, they're often treated very badly. If I only heard this once in a while, you could say, oh, it's an anomaly. But we hear it all the time. You've heard it, I've heard it, and such. Well, when we look at the Journal of Discourses, it really becomes no surprise why a lot of modern Latter-day Saints probably hold to that kind of attitude, because that was exactly the attitude that many of the leaders in the 19th century had towards those who left the Mormon Church. They had some horrible things to say about those who left the church. In the Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, I'm looking at page 83, where Brigham Young is going to tell the story about a dream he had. And this is just fascinating, but I want to go through this, and we can comment on some of the things that he says here. But folks, you need to hear what Brigham Young said. This is a sermon that he gave. The date was March 27th, 1853. He's speaking in the Tabernacle in Salt Lake City. And this is what he says. After giving a little bit of an introduction about apostates and his feelings towards apostates, he says, I will tell you a dream that I had last night. I dreamed that I was in the midst of a people who were dressed in rags and tatters. They had turbans upon their heads, and these were also hanging in tatters. The rags of many colors, when the people moved, they were all in motion. Their object in this appeared to be to attract attention. Said they to me, we are Mormons, Brother Brigham. No, you are not, I replied. But we have been, said they. And they began to jump and caper about and dance, and their rags of many colors were all in motion to attract the attention of the people. I said, you are no saints. You are a disgrace to them, said they. We have been Mormons. By and by, along came some mobocrats, and they greeted them with, how do you do, sir? I am happy to see you. They kept on that way for an hour. I felt ashamed for them, for they were in my eyes a disgrace to Mormonism. Then I saw two ruffians, whom I knew to be mobbers and murderers, and they crept into a bed where one of my wives and children were. I said, you that call yourselves brethren, tell me, is this the fashion among you? They said, oh, they are good men, they are gentlemen. With that I took my large bowie knife that I used to wear as a bosom pin in Nauvoo, and cut one of their throats from ear to ear, saying, "Go to hell across lots." The other one said, "You dare not serve me so." I instantly sprang at him, seized him by the hair of the head, and bringing him down, cut his throat and sent him after his comrade. Then told them both, if they would behave themselves, they should yet live, but if they did not, I would unjoint their necks. At this, I awoke.
Now, if that wasn't in the writing there, I would think you were just making all this up.
Well, it could be argued, come on, Bill, that was a dream. Have you not had strange dreams where you wake up going, what in the world was that all about? Yeah, I think everybody has. And certainly, I could not hold Brigham Young accountable for what he has in a dream. Although, some say that you, when you go to bed thinking about certain things, you have a tendency to maybe dream about those things as well. So maybe Brigham Young was thinking about those things, and that's what kind of led to this dream. But I don't think the Mormons can make that kind of an excuse for Brigham Young because of what he says afterwards. He says, at this, I awoke. He goes on to say, I say, rather than that apostates should flourish here, I will unsheath my Bowie knife and conquer or die. And then it says in the brackets here, because sometimes in the Journal of Discourses, it tells you how the crowd is reacting to the sermon that is being preached. And this is one of those cases. In the brackets, it says, great commotion in the congregation and a simultaneous burst of feeling, assenting to the declaration. So he's ramping up the crowd here. He's working the crowd. And they are agreeing with Brigham Young on how he would take his Bowie knife towards those that have left the church and apostatized. He goes on to say, now, you nasty apostates, clear out, or judgment will be put to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And then in the brackets it says, voices generally, go it, go it. And then Brigham Young says, if you say it is right, raise your hands. And in brackets it says, all hands up. Then Brigham Young says, let us call upon the Lord to assist us in this and every good work. So he's calling this, obviously, a call to assassinate apostates as a good work.
Well, can you imagine either being in that audience, thinking about maybe leaving the church, or hearing about this sermon later on? Because if a person leaves the Mormon church here in Utah today, there's lots of resources, lots of churches where they can get taken care of and be incorporated into a new
body. Hopefully encouraged and helped, yes.
But back in those days, there was very, very little, and there was revenge kind of things that happened. And it's like the Old West days, Wild West, where there's nowhere to go. You would have to either get out of town, perhaps, or, I mean, when you hear a sermon like that, you realize this was taken very seriously.
Oh, I would think it would be taken very seriously. But the point we're trying to make, folks, is we don't find a lot of sermons in the Journal of Discourses by LDS leaders having a lot of compassion or pity towards those who leave the church. And of course, if you leave the Mormon church, you're considered apostate. What's another statement that we find?
Well, Brigham Young also said on October 7th, 1857, in Journal of Discourses, Volume 5, page 332, he said this, brethren, who have been on missions, can you see any difference in the people from the time you went away until your return? And then in the brackets, as you mentioned earlier, the voices said yes. You can see men and women who are 60 or 70 years of age looking young and handsome, but let them apostatize and they will become gray-haired, wrinkled, and black, just like the devil.
Black. Interesting, because there's that reference to the skin color, which, as we have said before, in early Mormonism, skin color had a lot to say about your spirituality. We find that in the Book of Mormon with Laman and his followers getting a dark skin. And here Brigham Young is making an allusion to dark skin as well.
Can you imagine, though, a person who cares about the way they look and hearing that sermon thinking, my goodness, I better not leave the church or I'll turn...
What if you're an old, wrinkled black person listening to that? And everybody's looking at you like, oh, we know who you are. Yeah. All kidding aside, it's sad because we see a lot of the casualties of the Mormon church. And what I mean by that is we have talked to literally hundreds of people who have left the Mormon church. They didn't leave the Mormon church because they wanted to go out and be hedonist. You know, No. They had to go out and get a drink or go out and smoke or have a cup of coffee. Although there's a lot of Mormons who think that's why people do leave. I've seen it. I've seen comments in the Deseret News. I've seen comments in the Salt Lake Tribune from Mormons who, when they have articles about people who have left the church, they will make accusations that that's why they left. They couldn't live the high standard. Well, Mr. Latter-day Saint, I will guarantee you, give me 5 minutes talking to you, and I will show you how you are not living up to the high standards either.
Yep.
What you have is the sin of pride that needs to be repented of. But sadly, we see a lot of these people being mistreated. It's tragic. I hear it all the time when I volunteer down at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore on Saturdays. We get a lot of people who come in who are former Mormons, and I start talking to them about their experiences coming out of the Mormon church. It's sad because their whole family's turned against them, and they're the outcast.
Well, if you're a Latter-day Saint out there who has recently left or is thinking about leaving, just know there are lots of resources here at MRM.org. We have resources. We would like to start another former Mormon meeting at the beginning of the year. But we have resources. We can get you in touch with people and get you hooked into a good church where you live so that you can grow and become a strong believer in Jesus.
If nothing else, we're here if you just need to talk. And a lot of people just need to unload some of these feelings that they have. Because a lot of people, when they get treated that way, naturally, it's a common response to get angry.
Yeah.
And so if you need someone to talk to about that, I get emails all the time and people will say, I just need to talk to somebody. I have nobody to talk to.
And we care.
We actually do. We are not the Mormon enemies. We're not their enemies. If anything, because we are willing to tell them the truth, we are probably one of the best friends they could possibly have. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864. Or